you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Put him in the hall. Put him in the hall of fame. Parkinson Spiegel to the rack. Count it in a foul.
We're going to crank it up nonstop.
I think we can be creative. We've been creative in the past. And, going into this offseason, we're going to basically everything is on the table. So we're going to look at everything. That would be my answer.
That is Arturis Karnishevas, who may be looking to give this team, this Bulls team, a haircut of sorts over the next week or so. A boy can dream. And I have dreamed for a while, Ryan McGuffey. Matt Spiegel, that's me. I've dreamed for a while of them finding a way to not have Zach LaVine on the team. And Zach is a very good shooter and a extremely skilled scorer, but he's not a playmaker, he's not a defender, and he's so clearly challenged in the kind of things that make teammates better, that make a team better. And when it comes to decisions late in games with the ball in his hands, it's a developing situation. We've seen a lot of bad ones and a couple of good ones along the way, and then sometimes even then, of course, you don't make the shot, but he's just... I don't believe that he is a winning player. And this is something that I've dealt with and thought about since they matched the restricted free agent offer from Sacramento back in the day. I remember tweeting that night, like, oh, God, that's a lot for Zach LaVine. And then you get talked into realizing, well, that's just NBA money, and that's what that is. And you can't just give up him for nothing because of what they traded him away for. And then when it was the max contract, it was like, he's not a max player. And then the conversation was, yeah, but sometimes you have to pay non-max players max contracts, and you can't give up the asset and lose it for nothing. And then I feel like we got the clinical proof when the team played better while he was hurt. When they played better with the same pieces, but simply Io and Kobe and DeMar functioned better and shared the ball more willingly. And look, I've talked about this a lot. I do believe that they would be better off minus him and, of course, his contract. And there's a report today from your colleague, Casey Johnson, that maybe that's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. Did you see the report? Has everybody seen the report?
I have seen the report that the Bulls have floated as many as 15 different trade scenarios to teams such as, I believe, the Sixers, the Kings, maybe the Cavs, I think, were in that
group. The Orlando Magic.
As
many as 15 proposals floated by Arturis Karnishevas. And then this sentence from KC: it doesn't take a capologist to figure out the Bulls can't add a first-round pick and re-sign DeMar DeRozan and Patrick Williams, both of which Karnishevas has said he wants to do, without entering the luxury tax, unless an extremely advantageous salary cap trade of LaVine occurs. And KC drops in that the asking price has gone down. He drops in that both sides seem motivated to make something work this offseason. So I find myself hoping that the Bears will add by subtracting.
Well, I think both sides, the reason there's motivation on both sides is because both sides have seen the end of the road, right? I mean, I think Zach saw enough last year it was a better basketball team. It was a fluid watch. There was actually basketball. There was a plan down the floor. Zach is pretty much a one-dimensional player. You talked about he's not a winning player. I mean, you saw that statistic a couple of weeks ago that among NBA active players, he is the biggest loser. He has the worst winning percentage in the league among 500 games played or more.
Oh.
So, proof, he is 211 and 362. Zach LaVine is the NBA's leader. Lowest active 36.8 winning percentage. when Zach LaVine is on the floor.
No, obviously that we know.
Not his fault.
Not all of it is not his, all of his fault. Bad years in Minnesota with talented dudes who were young and hadn't figured it out. Failed rebuild here. And that comes after some bad teams here. But it does back up in the overall what you see.
Zach should be a good third on a great team. I mean, that's where he really probably belongs. A good third. Can score the basketball as well as anyone, we know that. Can have 50-point games. But he has several 40-plus point games with a lot of L's behind them. So it's a lot of empty, that's just empty stat stuffing to me. Mm-hmm. That's he's getting his, but the team is not working around it. It doesn't work. You've done, the experiment's over. You have to move on. This isn't about wishful thinking. I'm in the Matt Spiegel camp of wishful thinking.
You've always been in the Matt Spiegel camp, and that's been appreciated.
Well, here I am once again saying, I'm not. This isn't wishful thinking for me. Like, there's no other option here. The Bulls have to move on from Zach LaVine. They have to,
even if it's pennies on the dollar.
It is pennies on the dollar.
Of course, it's going.
It is pennies on the dollar. It's sometimes. Look, there's been a. There's a lot of falling in love that happens in this town. I mean, I know it happens throughout. It happens coast to coast. GMs draft a player, acquire a player. They get him young. They fall in love. And then there's a sense of, well, when it's time to move on from him, everyone else already has.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, what's best for your basketball team and the development of the guys who have already shown signs. I thought Coby White got screwed out of winning most improved player, whatever. We'll talk. It's a different day. I might have had a futures on that.
Coby White needs air to breathe.
Coby White needs to know that it's okay to be that guy. Yeah. It's okay to take that shot in clutch moments, which he did several times down the stretch to get him in the play-in game.
Patrick Williams needs space to develop into the kind of complimentary player and a two-way player
here,
that he could.
Here? Because I don't know. I don't know. Well, I know he wants $200 million. He ain't getting it, obviously. But like,
they've got the right. I understand, and they've got the right to match. It has been impossible for Patrick to really rise up and develop and have a chance with both DeMar and Zach here. I have my concerns about Patrick for sure. But if you're at all considering keeping him and paying for it and banking on him still, you have to make room for him.
Also, if you get a situation where DeMar moves on. Right? I know the sides are talking and everyone seems to be kumbayaing and like DeMar wants to be here.
And for those who don't know, the Bulls have until June 30th at 5 Central to sign DeRozan to a new contract, or else he then enters unrestricted
That's
free
scary.
Agency.
That's scary. If he enters unrestricted free agency, to me, that would not bode well, I would think, for the Bulls. I could be wrong, but it would not bode well.
In terms of what?
Him being back with the Chicago Bulls.
Oh, if he gets past June 30th?
Now, here's what I think
you're right.
Yeah, but here's what I would say to that. That doesn't mean, well, DeMar is gone, keep Zach. I would say if DeMar is gone, you still move Zach. And that then you're going, well, oh God, what is it? This is not about, well, either or situation. This is about this player has need the time has expired. For both sides
Got
in Chicago.
It. So if my personal dilemma that I have to wrap my head around is I get to remove Zach, but that means removing DeMar too and
yep.
stripping it bare.
Yes.
Yes. I agree with you. Of course. Yeah, of course. It has to be. I like DeMar. I respect DeMar. I believe that DeMar can age gracefully into being the OG second guy to another star. I believe that he can. But you can't. I mean, his lack of defense, to go along with Vooch's lack of defense, creates a big problem that you have to overcome. So if you need somebody else to develop into that potential number two and you lose the guy who's going to age gracefully, then so be it. That's a deal you have to make in the NBA 10 times out of 10.
By the way, like, I think that's an okay message, too, to the fans to say, like, hey,
we tried.
This didn't work. Okay,
like, I think people would have accepted this message a year ago.
1,000%.
A year and a half ago.
People, like, they were a likable bunch. And this, again, I feel like we're piling on Zach. It's not a personal thing. It's just he doesn't work on this particular team.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. This player does not work with Billy Donovan's system, with this cohesive group of players. And so I think that if you admit mistakes, but if you admit, like, this is broken, we need to fix it, and it might mean bottoming out
yeah.
for a year in order to do so, then you do it.
And Arturas said in April, This doesn't work.
It doesn't work. It was the first time he publicly had said,
"Yes,
we can't. We can no longer do this. We can't." He said, "We can't run it back."
Yeah, we can't run it back. And they tried. And so look, there are a lot of different offers that have been rumored out there. The one from Sacramento is the same trade package that apparently the Kings offered Toronto for either OG Anunoby and or Pascal Siakam, or maybe both of them.
Okay.
Harrison Barnes, that's a veteran player, whatever. It's salary filler. Kevin Huerter, who can shoot, and then draft picks. That's very little. It's unexciting. But would you do that for Zach LaVine? Yes. Would you include Alex Caruso in order to rid yourself of Zach LaVine?
I mean,
ouch.
That one hurts.
Ouch. But I would have done it last year at the deadline. I remember that exact thing came up. I mean, like, Caruso is so valuable and so desirable that if you have to include him to make your Zach LaVine trade make sense, there were rumors that that's exactly what the Warriors wanted.
Speaks.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry to break this to you.
Yeah.
Alex Caruso has been traded to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
No way. Just right now?
Yeah, for Josh Giddey.
You're not. You're not serious.
That literally just happened.
Yeah, it literally just happened.
Breaking news on 670 The Score is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. All right, let's let this register. Alex Caruso, a tremendous asset and obviously a wonderful player, but certainly a luxury, has been traded for Josh Giddey, who fell out of favor in the rotation in the playoffs as Oklahoma State flamed out in the playoffs. That is a very interesting player with a lot of skills as a playmaker and ball handler and shooter and scorer, a guy that you can run a lot of point stuff through. Super talented, very young.
21.
Very, very young. Incredible ceiling on Josh Giddey. I think we've gone far enough into the description of Josh Giddey to also mention the incredibly salacious rumors and stories that were also out there about Josh Giddey, where a very, very young woman's Instagram feed had pictures of her with him, and she had been bragging about it, and it was an underage relationship that he had to answer for and was straight up scandalous in Oklahoma City. So that's an interesting thing, interesting component of this that we'll have to sort through.
Certainly, wow. You would think the vetting of that has been done.
In terms of
acquiring a player?
Yeah, no, the vetting in terms of the potential legal danger.
Correct.
From the team's perspective, not the moral.
No.
This is strictly the legal.
Yeah, moral.
From the legal, you're not trading Alex Caruso for this if you're in trouble from a legal perspective.
Well, yeah, and from a moral company, I mean, Caruso seems to check both of those boxes, right? So I was just going to get into a scenario that said Alex Caruso would not have a fit for this team if you were to move on from DeMar and Zach.
Wow.
But here, the Bulls are telling you things, we aren't running it back, right? This is a guy that they may have probably, Alex Caruso was a guy that Karnišovas maybe coveted more than any player on his roster.
I mean, just about any winning team would kill for Alex Caruso.
And now the number one seed in the Western Conference this past season acquires a first-team all-defender.
He was second-team because they put all the bigs on the first team.
I'm calling him. Every GM in the league wants that guy.
Who can shoot threes and handle. I remember Alex Caruso was once called, I think it was a writer from CBS Sports, called him the LeBron James of being LeBron James's teammate.
Mm.
And I loved that.
That's a great...
It's a great turn of phrase because he was the perfect teammate for LeBron when the Lakers won the title.
Yeah.
Caruso wins a title because he was exactly what LeBron needed. Guy who could shoot, guy who could defend, guy who could handle a little bit.
A guy didn't need to be pulled aside and say, hey, do your job. Yeah.
Complete motor.
Yep.
Constant motor. LeBron absolutely loved him, was crushed that the Lakers weren't able to keep him, and that's why there were Lakers trade rumors regarding that. Let's throw open the phone lines here because at 312-644-6767, this is probably the first of many
dominoes.
Moves. This is the first domino for what will be, hopefully, and I would suspect, a lot of moves in this Bulls offseason. That 312-644-6767. The Bulls trade Alex Caruso on his own to Oklahoma City, to the Thunder, in exchange for 21-year-old, highly skilled Australian and controversial dater, Josh Giddey. Goodness. Shane, as our social media explorer, as our youth culture correspondent,
sure, yeah.
Can you dig into the Josh Giddey stuff as best you can? I see a story here from the New York Post of just a few days ago that he was just photographed with a model in the midst of his underage dating controversy. The model, though, is 23.
Be careful saying in the midst of, because he was cleared of everything from the police department out there. They couldn't find anything that corroborated the claims.
Okay.
Like he was cleared of that.
He was cleared of that. It's
gone.
How
many people believe it? Yeah. Allegedly, I don't.
The Newport Beach Police Department in California announced that Josh Giddey would not face charges. They were unable to corroborate any criminal activity. So it's just going to be something he lives with as a reputation stain, it seems, right?
Yeah, he's with Maki Lesko now. She's like a Polish model. She's a very pretty girl.
Okay. Hmm.
Allegedly on top of all that.
She's allegedly a very pretty girl.
Allegedly. Wait, I'm seeing a picture.
Yeah, I see.
Can confirm. So, Josh Giddey. That's a really talented, interesting piece. From a basketball perspective, that is a really talented, interesting piece. It sucks that that's what Caruso had to go for. Is that a better piece than they would have gotten from Golden State, where the talk was like Moses Moody
It might be a higher ceiling piece.
I think they might have gotten a very high ceiling offensive basketball piece in exchange for Alex Caruso.
In the third year of a four-year, $41 million contract, eligible for an extension this offseason. So you would think that those talks may happen.
Mm.
May. You don't need to. You have 2 years of control, there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if he was faced the press in May, admitted there were, quote, days where you don't feel like getting out of bed as he dealt with the investigations.
Yeah, so I know he didn't feel like talking to media there for a while.
He was in Oklahoma City. This is Chicago, big boy.
Yeah,
you're going to have to probably acknowledge it, even if it's at least in the initial availability. Mm-hmm. But maybe clean slate seemed to help a lot of people, and maybe in this case, you know, a clean slate for Giddey. If he was dropped and cleared of charges, I'm not an investigator, so.
So it's interesting. So during the playoffs, from the basketball perspective, Josh Giddey fell out of the rotation. He was the number 6 overall pick in 2021, and he's a great part of their transition offense. He's a great passer. He's a really good ball handler and took a lot of pressure off Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. A decent rebounder as well. So a good player and a good versatile player. He struggles with shooting the basketball.
Well, unfortunately, that's the Bulls' Achilles heel. They need, maybe this is where they go start getting shooters, though. They need.
Well, he's not one of them.
No, but they've lacked good ball handler. They've lacked a strong ball handler bringing it up the floor. I mean, think about who's bringing it. Zach has been that guy a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
DeMar brings it up a lot of times. Caruso a few times. But I mean, Kobe obviously has a point, but Kobe I don't know if he's a true point. You know, he's probably a bit more of a.
No, I think Kobe is a scorer who can play some point.
Exactly.
And that's great.
Right.
But if Josh Giddey is a guy who can run your team from the ball handling perspective and, you know, rebounds, we'll have to check what the defensive reputation is on Josh Giddey, but. Seems to be an interesting piece to think about as a young player with possibilities. Not a great shooter, but real good ball handler, real good passer.
Will be. I have reason to watch the Paris Olympic Games now because he's on Australia's team. So that'll be something to tune in for at middle of the afternoon, I guess. But yeah, this is look. You don't give up a player like Alex Caruso that's wanted by every team in basketball. Without and acquire a major question mark. I think there's question marks, no doubt, but certainly of the putting the moral compass part of it aside.
Yeah.
You know, I think being cleared of any wrongdoing and taking he's been subject to trade rumors the second he was benched in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like they were like, this guy's not a part of the future.
The Mavericks stopped guarding him That's a bad sign. So 21-year-old player that the Mavericks stopped guarding.
Yeah.
Sounds like Lonzo Ball a little bit before he could shoot,
yeah,
before he developed the shot. So maybe this is a project of sorts for the shooting coach, for Peter Patton, to work on. An extremely skilled young player. Developmentally, though, trouble shooting the basketball. This is Shad on the south side on Parkins and Spiegel. What's up, Shad? How are you?
What's up, Shad?
That was great, Speaks. Until Shane decided to Thanos my afternoon. It's egregious. This city deserves more. It's absolutely ridiculous that 24 hours ago I called you and I told you the Bulls had a future. Did you not give me credit for my global international outlook? I'm going to tell you this, Speaks. Yeah. I take it all back. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. The only guy that had NBA respect in every locker room, in every organization, every front office in the league, you get back a white point guard that can't dunk. It's absolutely ridiculous. No disrespect to anything going on else in this organization. I don't care about the offseason. This is another Lonzo Ball try. Throw it a dart. That's what it was. AK's a joke. He's a liar. This team deserves better. This city deserves better. How do you bring him in and think that that's not going to stunt the growth of Kobe White? Again, just like you did with DeRozan. It stunted Patrick Williams' growth, and now we're sitting here questioning, does he have a ceiling? They do the same junk again. I would have rather see them go get Derrick Rose and give the fans something to cheer about.
No. If you're trying to build a team, you're trying to give yourself a shot, I think this is a step towards – a step backwards, without a doubt, and it's a step towards what I think is going to be an active offseason of unloading and giving up on the dream of the mix. I don't think this is a sign that they think Lonzo Ball is ready to play. I think it's a sign that they can't wait around for this core and this group to work, which is what Arturas said in April. So I think we always knew that losing Alex Caruso could be a part of this, that's for sure. But I thought it would be for draft pick compensation on top of a young piece or two. And we'll see if there's more draft pick compensation that comes. We'll continue talking about it with you. Phone lines are open at 312-644-6767. Keep kind of breaking down the possibilities here for what is apparently going to be an active and intriguing Bulls offseason. We'll talk to Bobby Jenks in about 15 minutes as well, right here on 670 The Score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Pat McGann.
I feel like I'm in a garage on the south side, but you guys have an antenna. That's like the biggest difference.
Yeah.
Afternoons on The Score.
In the midst of a Bulls conversation on Parkinson Spiegel in the first segment of this hour, where we were talking about potential trades involving Zach LaVine and, if we had to, Alex Caruso. Alex Caruso was traded. And we broke in and gave you the news. It's Matt Spiegel and Ryan McGuffey here on The Score. Alex Caruso traded to the Oklahoma City Thunder. It seems, so far, straight up, with no draft pick compensation, for 21-year-old playmaker Josh Giddey. Giddey, the former number 6 pick in the 2021 NBA draft, is a skilled playmaker who hasn't really been able to do a lot of playmaking on that team because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the guy who runs that team. Guff, what did Woj say? Adrian Wojnarowski had tweeted about this trade with some of that in the context.
Yeah, he said the Bulls have been determined to find a playmaker to replace Lonzo Ball, and Giddey, 21, comes with an all-star potential that would unlikely be realized with the Thunder because of the playmaking star power who surrounded him. The Bulls will offer him an opportunity to have the ball in his hands and so much more freedom to pass and score.
Wow. So they're going to hand over the offense in some ways to Josh Giddey. So Kobe White can really be like a number 2 guard, a 2 guard and a scorer, move without the ball, get open, create when he needs to, though. It's an interesting young piece, man. I know he can't shoot very well right now, but Lonzo couldn't shoot, and maybe they believe that Josh Giddey can be a guy who can grow and learn to shoot. And if he adds that, obviously that will stretch the floor and stretch the defense in a wonderful way. But if he's, you know, real good ball handler, real good playmaker, and he's 21 and they're going to blow up what is clearly a dysfunctional and underperforming core, then you're going to have to bite a few bullets like this. I think it's a worthwhile risk.
This is where I like the Bulls having a veteran coach in like this. I like this. I mean, you know, Billy Donovan was a big part of this trade. I mean, that's just a fact. And you also know that Billy Donovan, like every other coach in the league, would not want to trade Alex Caruso. But knowing the direction of where this team is headed, they've been missing for what, four seasons now? Lonzo Ball? They've been missing exactly what they thought they were getting.
Yes.
And they've been sitting on this contract talking about his setback. Hope is not a plan. And there's been too much hope for too long, and not just with the Bulls. So go out and acquire a guy that you may see as a Lonzo Ball light for now, let's call him. And I don't love the black cloud that comes with it. I don't like that at all. No one should. But if he's been cleared from the wrongdoing, then it's for all of us. However you want to, I need to read more into it and everything, but it's for all, for your moral compass and all this stuff. That's going to have to be something that everyone else has to deal with. And the organization, quite frankly, is going to have to deal with as well.
Yeah, so. For sure. And the media, I mean, and then that will be, and the fans, like, and we'll come to terms with all of that. But just as a young piece to possibly develop with potential, I don't know that you are going to get anybody with quite as much potential upside as Josh Giddey for Alex Caruso.
No.
I mean,
I thought you were looking at probably some kind of, I wouldn't even say intriguing, somebody's other, some offset salary and draft pick comp.
Well, and this draft, there's not
a bad draft.
There's not a lot of high-end, high-ceiling players, even in the top 10, top 15 of this draft, where the Bulls are. There's going to be a number of moves as they put this together. At the top of the hour, we'll talk to our friend Joe Cowley from the Chicago Sun-Times. Cowley is great on Bulls stuff, great on stuff around the league. We'll analyze the trade, see what he thinks it means, and where we go from here. But coming up next, we're going to talk to one of the three closers for the 2005 World Championship White Sox about what it takes to be a closer, what the mentality takes. And oh, by the way, he's a manager in town as well. Bobby Jenks is next on 670 The Score.
And now let's welcome the starting lineup for your American League champion, Chicago White Sox. Number 45, Bobby Jenks.
Swing and a miss. 99 on the gun reading.
You think he's amped up? That adrenaline's flowing like the Chicago River.
Bobby Jenks has certainly earned his spurs with this White Sox ball club. That was a huge save.
Ian looks down to his bullpen on his way out. And he makes the sign to the bullpen, give me the wide, tall guy.
But Bobby Jenks waived by the Angels December last year. He's pitching in the World Series in October. Here's Jenks pitch to Bagwell. Swing and a miss. He struck him out.
They struck out the side. Ken Harrelson.
He gone.
Ozzie Guillen has tapped Jenks on the right shoulder. Said go finish.
Jenks with a deep breath. Here's the 1-2 pitch to Palmeiro. A ground ball past Jenks up the middle of the infield. Uribe has it. He throws. Out! Out! A White Sox winner and a world championship. The White Sox have won the World Series, and they're mobbing each other on the field.
Now it's time to meet the 2006 All-Stars. From the Chicago White Sox, pitcher Bobby Jenks.
We're sold out tonight here at U.S. Cellular. Everyone wearing black, and they have black towels that they are waving.
And it looks like Bobby Jenks warming in the bullpen for the Sox.
He's coming in.
This would be his 30th save.
Pitch to Alexi. Swinging a fly ball. Dropping fast. Right center field. Anderson dives. Sox win. Sox win. Great play by Anderson.
And the Chicago White Sox are the American League Central champion.
What a job pitching by Jenks and by Jenks.
And Bobby Jenks has tied a major league record. He tied 41 consecutive hitters from a reliever's role, not a starter. Unbelievable.
Here comes the ready or not. Here comes the boys.
Yeah! I was excited for this to begin with.
God, give me the ball in the ninth.
But now how excited are we? Oh, man. Bobby Jenks is on the phone right now. He's on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today, and he's on the Parkins and Spiegel Show on 670 The Score with me, Matt Spiegel, and you, Ryan McGuffey. What's up, Bobby? Oof. Welcome in. How are you?
That got me fired up.
Right? Let's go,
I think, man. You got an inning in you right now after that. I mean, let's go.
I tell you what, I'm still nasty at 55 feet throwing BP, so who knows what we got at 60.
If you reared back and gave it everything you could, would the body survive, and how hard could you throw it right now?
Well, honestly, I mean, I've had to change a lot of things, but I mean, I can still do a lot of things, but when it came to pitch, I had to just go so rotational right now, so it won't ever be the same, but I still got 90 in the tank. Come on.
Ooh. Oh, man!
Well, the White Sox lack that most nights, and especially today in the 7th, 8th, and 9th, so anything from 80 to 90, I think, at this point, in Bobby Jenks with that type of open or that... That bullpen intro music, we're all in on that.
That's all right.
I don't think the body would hold up for a whole inning, though. Yeah. Give me one batter, we're good.
Dude, that's beautiful. Our guy, Doug Buffone, the former Bear who played with Dick Butkus, was an old colleague of ours here at The Score, and he always used to say he had one play in him. Just one play, yeah. Bobby.
You need an out, I'll be your specialist.
There's a lot awesome. Of money in that now.
That's true. You know, you can do that. The three batter rule might get him, though. Can't make it three batters, Skip.
Yeah, bring me in with two up.
Bobby Jenks is the manager of the Windy City Thunderbolts, and obviously a hero. That's our guy Chris Tannehill, big time White Sox fan, and I'm sure was very excited to put that together for you. What do you think about when you think back on that? We want to talk to you about being a closer now and some stuff that's going on, and we'll ask about the Thunderbolts as well. But when you hear all of that, like, what are the images that come to your mind, Bobby, from 2005?
Oh, gee, you know, not just from 2005, just anytime I'm out there, I always had the same approach. It was me against you, and I'm going to win. And I think that's the biggest thing I try to teach now, you know, just to touch on the Thunderbolts a little bit, is if you don't go out there and you don't want it, you're not going to get it.
So,
I wanted it, so that was my mentality. The way I brought in every single inning, I was competing against every single guy, and I'm going to go out there and beat you.
And I think that was felt regardless of where you were pitching. If it was on the south side or in an opposing ballpark, fans knew, like, oh, crap, here comes Jenks. The Sox have the lead. And I think opposing teams and opposing managers knew that. Do you think – because I feel like there's not enough of that in today's game. I feel like there are guys who maybe don't know their roles, or – if they're coming into their roles, they're being asked to get outs in the seventh or eighth, which are not, you know, they call them what? The biggest, the high leverage innings, the eighth inning. Here comes, like, this is the most, the 3, 4, and 5, and not the last three outs of the game. Do you feel like there's not enough of that going on, that mentality to come out of a bullpen and say, give me the ball regardless of the situation, screw this, I'm getting these three guys?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, big time. You know, I can't speak fully of what goes on nowadays, just not being in the clubhouse, not being on the field. But I'll just tell you from my perspective that, you know, one of the things I teach now is I don't give a shit if you're this – oh, sorry, cussing.
We got you.
I don't care. Okay. I don't care if you're the 7th inning guy, 8th inning guy, 9th, or even with the new extra inning, you're the 10th inning guy. Every single inning, you are the closer. And if you don't go in with that mentality, you're not going to be successful. Every inning coming out of the bullpen is a closing inning. You got to win that inning to win the game.
So how does that manifest? Like, how does that affect your decisions and what you do on the mound? You know what I mean? Like, if you got a fastball, slider, or whatever, like, how does that competition mentality dictate what you do as a pitcher? What do you do?
Well, see, I mean, a lot of it, you can go with the analytics or the scouting reports, you know, who's hot that night. But when it comes down to it in the ninth inning, you're usually going to get a pinch hitter off the bench anyway. So you've got the scouting report. And if you're not sure, I'm definitely not going to get beat with what a computer says. I'm going to get beat with my stuff, what I've got that day. And if it's my fastball or my curveball or slider that day, that's what I'm going to use. I'm going to pitch to my strength and go out there and win or lose on that.
Did you go against the scouting report ever? Like
all the time.
In what?
You know, to be fair, I don't think I've listened to a single scouting report ever.
And now here you are coaching. How does that work? Oh, yeah. If you're the guy who went,
as I say, not as I do.
Well, was that, like, I go back to 2005, right? It's probably the most unique situation from a closer standpoint when you look at world championships ever. You had Shingo Takatsu starting it off. You had Dustin come in, and I think he had 30-plus saves until his back went out. And then you come up in July and are handed the ball in the ninth inning. So it's not like it was a learned behavior that you had to figure out in the big leagues. You got the ball right away when you came up and were that guy in the middle of a World Series run. So I ask you, as you sit here and mentor young players, can you coach it? Can you coach that mentality to be the closer regardless of inning?
You can try to coach it all you want, but the bottom line is you're either built to be a closer or you're not. A lot of guys who made really, really good setup men in the big leagues for a long time and made really great careers, you know, just the ninth inning is a different animal. And you either got that animal in you or you don't. You know, you can try and build off of, you know, the right mental approach. But if you don't have that dog in you, people aren't made for the ninth inning. And when you get out there, it shows.
Man, we're talking a lot about that these days. So there's a closer. He's been the closer on the Cubs, Hector Neris, a fastball, split finger guy. Last 2 years, a whip right around one, made 70 appearances both the last 2 years. Now he's a ninth inning guy, and it has fallen apart. And I mean, what is it? What is that? What is that extra thing that some people don't have, Bobby?
Yeah, honestly, you've got to be able to separate. Literally, not even outing to outing. When you're closing, you've got to be able to separate pitch to pitch. If you're not able to, one, make an adjustment pitch to pitch, then you're not in the right spot in the first place. And it really comes down to what you've got in your mind. The stuff is stuff. Anybody in the big leagues can get anybody out on any given day. That's why they're there. But if you just don't, it's a mental thing where the ninth inning is the hardest three outs to get. Mm-hmm. You know, we can debate about that all you want with starters, relievers, but when you have to get those last three outs, it all comes down what you possess.
So
in your heart.
So tell us a moment where you defied the scouting report, Bobby Jenks. Like what did it look like? Was it like, oh, this guy needs a slider, a curveball, and your fastball was better that day? What did it look like?
Well, you know what? Just in general, too. Like a rule of thumb, right? As a closer, if you're going to get beat, you're going to get beat away. Well, I pitched 90% fastballs in to righties and lefties. You know, I challenge the guys. You know, if you're going to beat me, you're going to beat me with my best stuff. I don't care what you did that day or what you've been, you know, your hot zones are that week. If you're going to beat me, you're going to beat me against my best stuff that day. And that's the way I pitched. And, you know, I was, you know, semi-successful at it.
So I'm looking at your 2005 game. You got your first save in your 14th game, but you talked about having that dog mentality. You pitched the ninth inning of a game the White Sox were well in front of in your major league debut in a 7-2 win over the Rays.
It's July, right? It doesn't come up until July.
It's July 6th. I remember being at that game thinking, here we go. Like, here comes this guy everyone's talking about. But at what point in the big leagues was it that first game? Was it that first inning in the ninth? You didn't pitch the ninth inning again until, I'm looking here, it looks like maybe until that first save opportunity. When did you know that you were suited to be in the big leagues, like, and to be able to stay there?
The day I got there.
Okay, I love it.
you weren't getting me off that field again. That was my job. You know, all due respect to Dustin, I love the guy. He, you know, one of my mentors when I got there. But it was just a matter of time regardless. That was my job. I wanted it. I was going to go get it, and I was going to take it. And that was the way I approached the game. That's the way I worked. You know, we can go back and debate a lot of things in life with my history, my past, but a lot of things that don't mention was my work ethic. I was one of the first ones at the ballpark every single day. I worked my tail off. I might have played hard, but I worked even harder. And that's the commitment that it takes, and if you don't take that approach, it's not going to work.
Bobby Jenks is the manager of the Windy City Thunderbolts. How much are you similar to Ozzie Guillen as a manager, Bobby?
Well, you know what? Probably one of the similarities is where, you know what? Where we just have a There's a lot. How do I word this without cussing or saying something inappropriate? There's a lot less cares given about your feelings. Because I'm not gonna work with you if I have to care about your feelings. This is baseball. Baseball doesn't give us two cares about your feelings because they're still gonna get you out in the games hard. And if you're soft and you're sensitive, you're probably in the wrong place, and I'll sort you out real quick.
That worked for you guys.
Yeah.
That worked for you guys with Ozzy being a truth teller like that.
Yeah, I mean, I got no room for softies.
Oh, that's tremendous. Go see the Windy City Thunderbolts. What's it like, man? What's the experience been like for you? What can people expect when they get out there?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, looking at the win-loss column, it's not the prettiest right now. We've been battling the injury bug. We fell behind early. We've been, you know, really just trying to, you know, stay at 500. But what you will see is guys coming out and carrying every single bat, every single pitch, running every ball out like it's their last. Because if you don't, you're benched anyway. So you're going to watch a bunch of guys who are hungry to get to the next level come out and compete and play their butts off and try to win a baseball game.
Plus, people have like an hour and 45 minutes to get out there, right? It's White Castle Wrestling Thursdays.
Oh
yeah, I'm standing outside on the field right now, and I watched the whole ring go up, and I'm watching a little preview of that right now.
I mean, there's a full-scale wrestling match that happens on Thursdays at the ballpark?
Does the winner get White Castles? Yeah. Winner gets White Castles, Bobby?
Even better than that, not only the wrestling, but it's nostalgic beer night as well. So come get you some old-fashioned
Strohs?
Cold brews and watch you a little wrestling, watch some boys get after it on the field.
Oh, hell yeah.
Dude, what are we doing after this week?
Right, yeah, we're in. Bobby, thanks, man. This was really fun, dude. Appreciate it.
Always good talking to you, man.
And nice to talk to you.
Oh, anytime, fellas. Anytime. I'm always available.
All right. Thanks, Bobby.
Unless he's doing something. That's Bobby Jenks right there. That was really, really fun.
We talked to two closers.
Yeah, we did.
Like legit dudes.
It's the closer show. Yeah. It's where closers come. Joe Cowley's not a closer, but he'll tell us what he thinks of the Josh Giddey for Alex Caruso trade. You heard right. If you haven't heard, we'll discuss next on 670 The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.